Okay, so let's start on, we were backtracking a little, Bays on the Bays. All right. So the Gemara says like this. What's the problem in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Dine Mamas Bishlosha, Gizelos Vichavolos Bishlosha. So that's a problem. That's a problem. What's the problem? Why do you say Dine Mominus are worth three and Gazelos and Chavolos are worth three? That implies that Gazelos and Chavolos were not included in the first statement of Dine Mominus, but they are Dine Mominus. It's not Dine Nefashos, right? So, yeah. What is Gazelos? Take a look at the first the Rashi in the Mishnah. Gazelos. Go ahead. Okay, so it's interesting. Rashi learns that what does it mean a gazlan? What's the case of gazlan that it's talking about? It means a someone who denies responsibility for a pikadon. Right? That's what the Gemara explains. Now, what's the case, basically? If I give you something to watch, right, as a shomer, a bailer, so then what? And then it goes missing. So if you had used it personally, then you would be chayev, no matter what. Okay, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Why? He says, "Demisha sholach bo yad havi gazlan." Now let's just think it through for a minute. Yechayev. In other words, let's take the case. It comes from this case. It depends on the case. In other words, let's take the case in the pasuk. Okay, might as well do it. It's going to come up, right? We went through it already a couple times. So, ki yitein ish el re'eu kesef o kelim lishmor. So, this is a case of what? You know what kind of shomer it is? It's a shomer chinam, good. And it's stolen from him, right? And it's stolen from him. So, then if you find the ganav pays. That's of course. But if you don't find the ganav, if the ganav is not found, so then he goes to the basin. And he has to swear, im lo sholach yodo b'meleches re'eu. Right, so what does that mean? It means say, if I give you something to watch as a shomer, and I don't pay you for it, so then the old saying is, you get what you pay for, right? So therefore, you're not going to be chayev for geneva. If someone stole it from you, right, or aveda, if someone stole it from you, then what? Then you're pater. Then you're pater. If I paid you to watch it, you wouldn't be pater for theft. But if I gave it to you as a shomer chinam, if you're watching it for me for free, so then for geneva you'd be pater, right? Provided, but if while you were watching it, you used it a little bit yourself, right? Then there's no patur anymore for geneva.
Wait, your chayev?
So once again,
it's considered your chayev for geneva.
One second. You have to pay for it.
But you're not chayev. It's not considered as you stole it.
One second.
If they find the guy, you're going to pay,
right? Prior to that.
Right. In other words, let's just say it simply. In other words, as a shomer chinam, you're pater for geneva, right? Im lo shalach yado b'meleches re'ehu, provided you hadn't used it once. Now, why is that? Is it a halacha that a shomer chinam is pater for geneva, but if he uses it, it's an exception to the rule, or something else? So Rashi explains that it's something else. He says he's a kofer bepikadon demi sheshalach bo yad havigazlan. In other words, why is the shomer chayav when he uses it? It's not like a detail. It's not like the shomer who uses it is chayav in geneva, whereas a shomer who doesn't use it is not chayav in geneva. No, a shomer is always putter in geneva. But if you use it, you cease being a shomer. You took the guy's thing. Now you're a gazlan. So a gazlan has to return it no matter what. What's that?
If it's still there, you can return it.
If it's still there, you can return it. A gazlan doesn't pay kefil. Right? Only a ganav pays kefil. So for the gazlan, it's just a matter of returning the principal.
Even if it doesn't get lost, he's still a gazlan.
He is still a gazlan. He would be chayev tshuva. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if it gets stolen from him, then that's a different case.
Now, if it gets stolen from him,
he's still responsible.
He's responsible not because his chiyuv shmira became more intensified. He left his shmira. Now he just simply is a guy who stole something. So he's responsible no matter what.
Now, God's number two has a chiyuv to return to him, and he has his own chiyuv to return that object that he stole.
That's what Rashi is explaining. The case of gazlan that the Mishnah is referring to, and that's what the Gemara says, is the shomer who uses the object. Now hold on, that's the main case. But of course, it also includes hachotef miyad chavero. Someone snatches something from his friend's hand. He's also a gazlan. Kigam vayigzel asachonis miyad amitzri. So that's the primary. That's like the paradigm case that it says in the Navi that he stole the sword, right, or the spear from the Mitzri. He used the lashon of gezel, and it describes a grabbing. So we say a gezel is grabbing from somebody, whereas ganaf is different. Ganaf is more of a passive kind of a thing. It's not against the gavra as much. Now, there's a lot of lumdus about the difference between a gazlan and a ganaf, right? But the plain shot over here, Rashi's saying, is that the plain shot is the gezel is the gezel has two cases. One is where you're a shomer and you use the object that you're supposed to be watching. You're not called a ganaf, you're a gazlan. And the other is where you don't have a pre-existing relationship and you grab the object from the guy. Now you sneak into someone's house and you take his stuff, that's not a gazlan. That's a ganaf. But whatever, don't worry, we're not worried about the difference between a ganaf and a gazlan right now. Okay, so one second. He says, oval lo vevelo shilem. This is what we're concerned about. We're concerned about the comparison between gazlan and a deadbeat, right? Says, but if I borrow money from you and I don't pay you back, that's not a gazlan. Why? Demilve lehotza nitna. What does that mean?
It's on the lender.
No, the milve. Milve means the loan itself. Lehotza nitna.
Was given
to spend. That's a very important, very common phrase used many, many places. Milve lehotza nitna. It means to say, like, if I lend you $20, you don't have to pay me back. If I lend you my car, right, Yona, I expect my car to be returned, right? If I didn't specify when, we could have a din Torah about it. But it's definitely got to be my car. Right, but if I lend you $20, I do not have any right to demand that $20 bill back. What's the difference? Ma'os lehotza milve lehotza nitna. It's only given to spend. That's the whole deal. I don't give you my car to sell it or use it up. Right, I give you my car to use and return. But the money I don't give you to use and return. I expect it to be used up and replaced. Okay? So Rashi is explaining, you can't say that what? What's he really explaining? You can't say that when I spent the money, what's he trying to say over here? What's he trying to say? But if I don't return the money, I'm not a Goslin. Why? Because it was given to be spent. So it's just the not paying back that's the problem. But that's not taking anything anymore. In other words, the Goslin has to be in the taking. That's how we identify the Goslin, right? The taking and the using of the object. But the taking and the using, so by the shomer, he wasn't allowed to use it. By the chotev chavero, he wasn't allowed to take it. But the guy who borrows money was allowed to use to take it and use it, right? He's just has a chov of repaying. He has a separate chov to replace. But to fail to meet your obligation to replace does not make you a Goslin. Doesn't make you a good guy either, but it does not make you a Goslin. Goslin has to be something actively violating his rights. So anyway, so that's the that's Gezelos. And what's Chavolos? Chavolos is a Chov of a Chavero, right? So that's Chayev v'chamisha Devarim. What are the five things it's Chayev? Good. All right, so that's the Gemara's question. Why does it say Dinei Mamonos b'shlosha and then Gezelos v'chavolos b'shlosha? It all comes down to money. Both of them all come down to money. So that's what the Gemara says. Otu Gezelos v'chavolos lav Dinei Mamonos ninu? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm a Rabbi Yavo. Mahin Ketani.
Okay. So Rabbi Yavo says it's a classic case of a Mahin Ketani. That's what it is. It's a what are they? It's telling you what they are. It's an amplification. It's a clarification of what it's like setting up the topic sentence and then expanding.
Is that a common thing?
It's not uncommon. It's a Mahin Ketani. Good. It's possible. Let's put it that way. Good. Yeah.
Mahin Ketani. How you zelos?
Right. It's a pirish. Dine mamonis b'shlosha. And what are dine mamonis? Gezelos v'chavalos. Okay. So the problem, though, is that there are more cases than gezelos v'chavalos included in dine mamonis, right? So it's an explanation that's really coming to limit dine mamonis, right? So he says, mahi dine mamonis. What do we mean here by dine mamonis? Gezelos v'chavolos. But it's excluding of al hodos v'halvoos lo. Right? So it's telling you dine mamonis b'shlosha, but not all dine mamonis, these dine mamonis. Gezelos v'chavolos. But hodos v'halvoos are excluded. What exactly are they excluded from? We'll have to see, but they're excluded. Okay, so Rashi explains why. He says, because of the principle of ne'ilah, to prevent ne'ilas deles b'fnei lovin. Right? In other words, it's not me'ikar adin. It's not me'ikar adin. Really, midaraisa would seem there's no differentiation between any of these cases. At least at this point, that's what Rashi seems to be saying. There's no differentiation between any of the dine mamonos. But the Mishnah is telling you that we don't require the same thing by halvaos and hodos, because they come through gemilas chasadim. When you get a loan, the guy's doing you a favor, right? When the guy's doing you a favor, and therefore, we want to prevent the prevention of that. No, he's saying, no, it's Rashi saying, really, dine mamonos as a category includes everything. But the dinim of Beis Din only applies to the subset of Gezelos v'Chavolos and not to the subset of hodos v'halvaos, because we want to encourage gemilas chasadim. And like I was saying yesterday, if you make too many restrictions on a person's ability to collect his loan, then people are going to stop lending. So we only insist, we don't insist on shlosha by hodos v'halvaos. Okay? Now Rashi is a lengthy Rashi, just trying to define hodos v'halvaos, because we all know what halvaos means, but what's hodos? Right? So Rashi just says, they're both talking about loans. Right? One is either where the guy admits in front of Edom, right? Or they're Edom to the loan itself. Right? He's learning hodos v'halvaos to be talking about eide hodo or eide halva. Alright? Okay. So it sounds very good, what Rabbi Avoh says, but there's a little bit of a problem. Okay? I understand why you can't just say dine mammas b'shlosha, because then I wouldn't think that it should include hodos v'halvaos. So it has to say gzeilas v'halvaos. But why does it have to say dine mammas at all? Why can't it just say gzeilas v'halvaos b'shlosha? If it really, why does it have to introduce this big category of dine mammas b'shlosha and then say, and you know what we mean by dine mammas b'shlosha? We only mean gzeilas v'halvaos. So just say gzeilas v'halvaos b'shlosha. Right? So that's what the Gemara is trying to explain. Says, I understand, it's very good if it would have said dine mammas havamina filo dos v'halvaos. So it has to teach gzeilas v'halvaos. But ve'i tana gzeilas v'chavalos ve'lo ketani dine mamnas, that Gemara has an interesting havamina. Havamina hu hadin da'afilu hodos v'alvos. I would have thought that it's also by hodos v'alvos. But the Mishnah says gzeilas v'chavalos. So why does it say gzeilas v'chavalos in the Mishnah? V'hai de katani gzeilas v'chavalos.
Yishum de ikar gimel v'chtivi v'gzeilas v'chavalos.
Ksivi. Because the ikar gimel de ksivi, right, the where we learn three dayanim from, is where? Gzeilas v'chavalos. Does that sound surprising to you? Where did we learn three? We did this the other, so where do we learn three? Where did we learn three? Huh? The three psukim. Where were those three psukim? Huh? By Shomer. So chavalos is a little bit hard, right? So that's what the Gemara explains. Go ahead. Gizelos. So that is like Rashi said, when a guy uses the picadon, so he's a gazlan. So that's clear. It definitely is true that gizelos, that the three, the necessity, the need for three dayanim is certainly in the parsha of gizelos. But how is it in the parsha of chavalos?
Chavalos mali.
Exactly. Chavalos is no pasuk that's really written by chavalos. Very interesting gemara. That the parsha of a chol v'chavero doesn't say anything about. Doesn't say judges. Doesn't say three judges anywhere.
That's kind of why I read the at first when you got chavalos.
Right. But chavalos, we say mali chovo begufo, mali chovo b'mono. Strange gemara. So where do we see chavalos? Because chavalos, what's the difference if a guy who damages your property or if it damages your body? All right, let's take a look at Rashi. Right. So it says it by gezelos because it says v'nikra balabas Elohim in the parsha of Shomer Chinam, and it uses that phrase three times. Use that term three times. And that, it's true, it's a case of Shomer Chinam, but really, the story is that the guy was Shomer Chinam, but what's the owner's claim? His claim is, you stole it. So it's a claim of Gezel against the Shomer. Okay? So that's clearly Gezelos. But what about Chavalos? Interesting Rashi. Interesting Gemara. Since it implies that since it says 3, Dayanim, by a case of Chovel b'mamono. Such an interesting expression.
Is that the same pasuk?
That's Gezel. Chovel b'mamono just means the parsha that we just spoke about. The parsha of the Shomer Chinam. And we say he was Chovel b'mamono. So now I know Chovel b'mamono needs 3. In other words, we're universalizing, right? We're taking the specific case of Gezel, right? Yonah, we're taking the specific case of Gezel. And we're saying, well, Gezel is really a type of Chovel b'mamono. And Chovel b'mamono is equal to Chovel b'gufo. So we're sort of abstracting out, we're sort of abstracting from the particular case of Gezel to a bigger category of Chovel. And now we're saying that bigger category of Chovel contains 2 types of damages. Damage to the money, damage to property, and damage to body. Right? So there shouldn't be any difference. If the Torah tells me that a Chovel b'mamono needs 3 judges, Chovel b'gufo b'chlal, it's an astounding statement to me, then the Chovel b'gufo is automatically included. Why? Right? Hilkach b'ha nami ksivbe. It's so astounding to me. Okay, it's one thing to say that I can learn one from the other. But the Gemara is saying even more. It's saying it's as if the din of 3 judges is taught by a case of Chovel b'gufo as well. Because you have to understand what the Gemara is trying to do over here. You have to appreciate what the Gemara is trying to do over here. The Gemara is trying to answer why the Mishnah couldn't have just said Gezelos v'chavalos, right? And what's the answer? Why couldn't it have just said Gezelos v'chavalos? Because I could have said, the Mishnah is mentioning the source of where I know 3, right? But of course it would apply to all Dinei Mamonos. Why did it pick, in other words, the question is like this, Why would I say Gezelos v'chavalos really means all Dinei Mamonos? Because I would say the Mishnah was just taking the source case, right? Because the Mishnah is a Pirush on Torah Shebichsav, so it's coming off of the source case, but it's just using the source case to represent the whole category of Dinei Mamonos. But that means that Gezelos v'chavalos together have to be the source cases equally, right? The problem is, the only case that's expressly stated in the Torah with Gimel Dayanim is Gezelos. So the Gemara is saying, it's true, it's factually a case of Gezel, but we look at it on an abstract plane and we consider it to be a Chovel. And now we can even go so far as to say that we could refer to the source case in the Torah as Gezelos v'chavalos. Right? It's not like we get Gezel and we get Chovel from Gezel, because then Gezel would still be the only source case. It's like somehow Gezel and Chovel become equal as the source.
It's not saying that
Kosav, Nokatlu, right. So that Rashi is explaining. So therefore, it had to say, and if it wouldn't have, so it would have said Gezela v'chavolos and not mentioned Dini Mamos in general, I would have thought it's only because Gimel is written by these cases. That's why the Mishnah took it. But really, in truth, it would be the same din by Malva too. That's why it had to have both. Dini Mamonis, and then specifically only Gezelos v'chavalos, right? To exclude Hodos v'avos.
I don't get that.
Because if it would have meant just Mamonos, then if it would have meant everything, it could have just stopped. After Mamonos, no reason to say Mayan.
What's Rashi saying here with the...
No, Rashi's explaining the pshat. That was, why does the Mishnah now have to say Mamonos and then Gezelos v'chavalos? Why couldn't it just say Gezelos v'chavalos? So, because if it would have just said Gezelos v'chavalos, I would assume it really means all Dinei Mamonos. And the only reason it took the case of Gezelos v'chavalos is because that's the case in the Torah. But it really means all. So the only way to get down to Gezelos v'chavalos alone is to say mamonis. And what do I mean by mamonis? Gzeilus l'cholos. Then I know it's definitely not hodos v'avos. Gotta be careful what you say, right? In the Mishnah. Right? So let's just focus on that question for a minute. In what sense could you say that there's no difference between gozel chovel b'mamono and chovel b'gufa? I mean, I think if I would take a quick poll over here and say, do you think it's different if somebody takes your money or damages your body? You'd say, yeah, I think it's different.
Different in what sense?
Yeah. Different, different exactly in the sense.
It's not like...
I'm trying to make, right? To say that they're both the source means we know them both simultaneously from the Torah. What does that mean? It means to say, it's not that we read the Parsha and we say the Parsha is Gezel. And then I derive Chovel from Gezel. Then you couldn't say Gezel and Chovel are the same, are the source. Then the source is Gezel. If I get Chovel from Gezel in the traditional sense, then if I would say, well, name for me the source, I would have to say it's just Gezel. But the Gemara is saying that it's more than that. Gezel and Chovel are both the source, even though Gezel is the only one that's explicitly mentioned. So that means to say it's like they're synonymous, right? Not I deduce one from the other in the traditional sense, but it's like they're synonymous. And that's my question. In what way are they synonymous? It says, was anybody bothered? I think Avi was. Was anybody bothered by the semantics of the Gemara? The Gemara says, Ma li chovel begufo. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk is by what? By mamon, right? And then the Gemara says, Ma li chovel begufo, Ma li chovel bemamono. Which is the known and which is the unknown? The known is mamon. The unknown is guf. Why does the Gemara say the unknown before the known? If I was writing the Gemara, I would say, and the Pasuk is talking about mamon. But what's the difference if it's money or body? But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, what's the difference if it's body or money? It's just strange, right? So Tosus mentions that. Tosus says, Havale leminkat, mamono havale leminkat beresha. Should have said, mali mamono, mali gufo. Because the mamono is the first one that we know, right? Shekach derech b'kol makom b'loshon mali. We always, every time you find a case of where the Gemara says mali, which is common here, mali this, mali that, where lahakdim ha-poshut kid-ashkechan b'hamafkid. All right, fine. Malachamos mali hocha, mali hosam. Okay, I'll take his word for it, right? So that's his question. Whenever it says mali this, mali that, it always says the poshut one first. So the Pasha one should be Mamon. Mali, Mamon, Mali, Guf. So he says, Yesh Lomar, Dechavola Shaicha Beguf Tfei. The term Chovel is more appropriate to the body. Upshita. That's the term Chovel is more simply applied to the Guf. Lekach Nokat Beresha Chovel Begufo. But doesn't that sort of strengthen the question, no? Because it implies... that you don't think of the mamon as a chovel as much as the guf as a chovel. So then the guf is not exactly the same as the... But he's saying in terms of the term. So what do you say from all this? Yeah. Right. Now for instance, it would seem that Rashi would say that halvaos wouldn't fall into this. A guy not paying back his loan would not come under... You wouldn't say that that is also... included in that first parsha. It's specifically gezelos and chavalos. Yeah. It's interesting to use the term chovel by mamon. Right? That's what Tosus is mentioning.
What is the case of chovel by mamon?
Gezel. They're reframing gezel into a chovel by mamon. Chovel is like means damage, you know what I mean? So by guf, it's you say it. But it seems to be saying like this. It seems to be saying that a gazlan is not just causing a loss. That's not a gazlan, right? It's not simply causing loss. But it is some kind of a, it is some form of an attack. It is some form of a of an aggressive action towards the person via his mammon. But it's it is some form of a of an attack on the gavra. Hachovel b'chaveiro is what you say, right? Were you chovel b'chaveiro? Yeah, you were chovel b'chaveiro, either through his mammon or through his guf. But no, that's not reducing it. If you look at it simply, if you look at a gazlan as simply having an effect of reducing the person's money, then there's a big difference between damaging him and reducing his money. But if you look at, if you say a gazlan is really somewhat of an aggressive maisa to the guy by disregarding his bailus or whatever it is, but it really is an affront to the individual, so then you can say, well, there's an affront to the individual that's expressed in his by disregard for his property and by disregard for his goof. They both stem from the same, they're both in the same type of an action, right? Like you go to a guy's stuff and you just grab it, right? It really is to the gavra. They're both to the gavra, front to the gavra. So therefore, but the point is, why does it say chovel begufo first? Because that's our point. That's really, I would go further than Tosafot. That's the whole point the Gemara is making. That it's not really deriving, well, it's not further than Tosafot, but it's giving it, I think just expanding a little bit on the explanation. That if it was a true derivation, that I have one and I derive another one from it, and it would have to say the one I know first. It would have no choice. Right. The point is, we're saying that they're the same. There's no difference between the two. So put the term that's more appropriate, that's more natural, before the term that's less natural. You understand? But if it was the known from the unknown, then you couldn't reverse it. Yeah. All right. It's a little bit complicated. In other words, the Ram says like this. It's in the beginning of Hachovel Mazik. Hachovel Chaver Chayav L'Shan Lo Chamisha Devarim. Yeah. Goes through each one. And then he says like this. He says, Eino, well, it's interesting. By the Mevayesh, by Boshas, he says, it has to be Bekavana. And then he says like this. Odam Muad Li Olam. Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, Bein Or, Bein Yashin. Bein Shikr. Bein shikr. Person is considered the muad li olam. What does muad mean? It means like warned, like from edus, like you've been at the outset. You're already warned, because as they do by a shore, the edim come and they testify. So a person is already considered muad li olam, whether he's awake, sleep, drunk, whatever it is. Im chovel b'chavero, oh, hizik mamon chavero, mashalim in a yofesh ibn chosov. He has to pay for the good. But medvar murim sha yoshein chayav. Okay, that's only if he goes to sleep next to a guy and harms him. But if you're sleeping and someone sleeps next to you, there's no way you could have known about that. Right? So it means to say that you always have to watch yourself. That's what it means. Adam is muad li olam, means you always are responsible to watch yourself. And you can't say it was an accident, because that's a failure in your shmirah. But that's like as Misha nofal min agag beruach mitzuya vehizik chayev ba'arba dvarim upatim in a boshes.
That's the only thing he's putter from.
Nofal beruach she'ena mitzuya chayev benezik bilvad upatim in arba dvarim.
He said one time.
Yeah. So he says, if he fell from the roof in a common wind, in other words, that means to say he knew he was just being negligent. He's being negligent. So then he's chayav in everything except for boshes, because boshes he needs specific kavana to embarrass a guy.
What?
But if he fell in a ruach she'ina metsuya, then he's only chayav in the nezek. Vim nishapech, and if while he's falling he aims to land on the guy, Chayev b'chol, af b'boshes. Then he's chayev everything. Shekola miskavin lahazik, af apishol miskavin lebayish, chayev b'boshes. Yep. All right, so anyway, so it's not as smooth as we would like it to be, but basically it's sort of like an imputed kavana, we say. But if you act negligently, it doesn't have to be that you singled out a man specifically to harm, but if you act with disregard for people, that's also a type of a chov b'chaverim. It's going into a situation that's just you disregard other people. It doesn't have to be that you're picking on one guy as a confrontation with an individual. It means you're disregarding the person's. You don't have any concern for another person. That's also under the realm of a chol b'chaver. Okay. Anyway, where would you? The obvious question is a good question. If it would have just said gezeilos chavolos, so why wouldn't I just take it at face value? Where would my assumption come from? Where is my havamina that it includes everything?
Because whenever you ask Gemara, you just that's the.
Because I would say if it meant just gezeilos chavolos, it would have said dinei mamonos first, and then mahein gezeilos chavolos. I don't know. It's a good question.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this question is a very important question. Let's hold on to it, okay? Let's go a little further. I'm just going to help you with the pshat, because the next piece of Gemara is a little bit tough on the pshat, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back to it next time. So the Gemara is like this. So that seems to have taken care of that issue for now. So the Gemara is like this. Now the Gemara comes back to what Meir was asking. What is excluded from Hodos Volvos? Now we're learning the Mishnah is excluding Hodos Volvos from something. We're not treating Hodos and Volvos like Gezelos. So with regard to what is it different? So that's what the Gemara says. Ulemai, what is it different? Ulemai hilchaso shayrinu tana ladine malve lemeutinu mai. So what did the Mishnah's leaving out halvaos in order to spare it from something? So what is it? What is it sparing it from? Okay. Ilema de lo ba'inan shlosha. So maybe you'll tell me it's the very din itself of dinei mamonos b'shlosha. Maybe it means you don't need three dayanim at all. That's what I would think, right? V'ha amar Rabbi Avohu. But Rabbi Avo made a statement, Shnayim shadanu dinei mamonos ledivrei hakol, ein dinei hamdin. Yeah. That if two judges decide a case, it's worthless. In all dinei mamonos, he said that. So it can't mean that what? That you don't need three. It can't mean you don't need three. Ella de lo bo'ina mumchen. So let's say it means you don't need experts. Okay. Now who are mumchen? Rashi. Smuchen v'notlu rishus minasi lodon. So Rashi says two things by mumchen. What are the two things? First of all, a certain quality, smuchen, means they received smicha, literally, right? That was a certain process of smicha, they received smicha, okay? But not only they received smicha, not just that they know the halacha, but they actually have to be, ordained. But not only that they are ordained, but they also have permission to judge from the nasi, who was like the head of the... Of the yeshiva. All right, these issues are going to come up later, but like Rashi says, the Gemara says later. These two things, smicha and atilas rishus.
Wait, why can't we say when it says the lobi inan shlosha b'hamar Rabbi Avahu shnayim shdanu? Why can't we say okay, but maybe you only need one for?
Because if two are no good, then one is certainly no good. If two are no good, if two who judge are not don't judge, if two who give a
maybe he's just saying that you have to have aim based control, you have to have a shackle based.
No, that's not what he's talking about. We know that's not what he's talking about. Okay, he means even it's a good question, but it means what, that there's nothing less than three. That's what it means. Okay, so here's the hard part now. So maybe it means you don't need mumchen. So the Gemara says, but you can get stuck. My kosovar. See, this is what I find interesting about the Gemara, about Rashi. That it seems like now the Gemara is operating on a Daraisa level, no?
Yeah.
Right? It's questioning it from a Daraisa level. And Rashi, from the very beginning, like headed us off about the Rabbanan's already. But anyway, the Gemara is analyzing it in terms of the Daraisa. So what does this Tana hold? Does he hold there's ear of Parshios, or does he hold there's no ear of Parshios? So what is ear of Parshios? It is like this. This Parsha that has the three Dayanim has one line in it that's a little bit hard to read, or that seems a little bit out of place. It says like this: Al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma, al kol aveda sher yomar ki hu ze. So what does it mean? I understand the Dvar Pesha, Shor, Chamor, but what does it mean, Asher Yomar Ki Huze? Okay? So the Parsha is talking about Shomer, right? And Ear of Parshios, I mean, it's the Machlokas in the Rishonim, but the way Rashi's learning Ear of Parshios means that you learn that phrase of ki hu zeh is really referring to a case of a loan that a guy denies.
What's ir of parshios?
So ir of parshios means a mixture of the parshios, like a taroves, an eruv of the parshios. So it means to say like this: some learn that the parsha of Shomer is mixed in with the parsha of Malva. If you learn that the Malva makes a cameo appearance in this parsha, right? Then it means that this parsha is telling you that halvaos also need three. That's called Ear of Parshios. But it would also mean that it needs mumchen, because this parsha is telling you three dayanim who are mumchen. So the Gemara is saying you either hold Ear of Parshios or you don't hold Ear of Parshios. But you can't split up and say you need three, but you don't need mumchen, because you learn both three and mumchen from the same exact source. So either you hold halvaos is included in the parsha and you should require three mumchen, or you hold that halvaos is not included in this parsha and all you need is one average Joe.
No, but why can't you ever say that if we said that the smallest space that you have is three?
Because this is our source. And if you hold any ear of parshios, you only learn that by
then
certain cases.
Okay.
And that's something we'll have to think about. But it comes out that it's not so simple. The Rambam actually paskins that midaraisa one guy could judge. Not by the case of Shomer, though. Because the Shomer case is different. But I guess so, because it says specifically in that parsha three judges. I mean, I don't think anyone. It definitely is a parsha. It seems everybody agrees there are certain things that the Torah demands three. The question is it does it include halvos or not? Okay, so that's what the Gemara's question is. What does he hold? Does he hold ear of parshas or not? E kosover ein ear of parshios kosov kan, then he should also need mumchen. V kosover ein ear of parshios kosov kan, shlosha lamali. Okay, so that's what the work includes. No, he really holds ear of parshios, and he really should need mumchen, but we don't require mumchen because of what? Shlotinol dels bifnei lovin. Okay. That's one way of going, but if you will go a little further, you'll see on Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a different position. That it says the opposite, that really only one is needed, and three is a chumrah. So we have to see. That's the problem. Nothing is ever as it seems, right? So that's what we're going to try to get to and try to figure out a little bit. This comes out as like a most fundamental machlokas, and that is the minimum three mumchen for halvaos, and the Rabbanan reduced it to three hejotos, or is the minimum for halvaos one hejot, and the Chachamim increased it to three?
Okay. Three hedge out.
We'll see. Three hedge out. But part of this whole thing is we have to think about whether you say Erev Parshas or not. That's also like a very important question. That means to say, when the Torah, it seems, unless I'm making a mistake, I have to go over again, it seems that everybody's agreeing by the case of the Gezelos, and the Gezelos of Chavolos, the three is definitely necessary. The only question is, do you say that Halvoos are the same, or do you say no? That's only by Gezelos of Chavolos Torah requires three. But Halvoos, it doesn't. Right? It's all part of the same question. If you're going to say Erev Parshios, it means the Torah is treating every single case the same. Every case of money requires three mumchen. If you say Ein Erev Parshios, it comes out that there are bigger requirements for Chavolos and Gezelos than there are for just the regular case of Halvaos. Okay? So we'll take that up a little bit. A little bit tricky, the pshat in the next thing, but you'll see. And if you want to take a look at the Rush. The Rush sort of summarizes the whole thing.